realfaith.org.au.
And when he found out, he said, "All right, so you can either accept Jesus or you can live with me and be married and stay in this house and have the children. Choose one." And I said, "Well, if you accept Christ, you, I, and the children, we become citizens of heaven and we will have the peace and all our sins forgiven." And he said, "No, I don't accept that. I give you 1 week to decide."
Welcome to Real Faith. Conversations about the impact faith has on our lives and the challenges we go through, helping us today and giving us hope for tomorrow. That's Real People, Real Life, and Real Faith with Eric Scatterbo.
Well, today we have part two of our conversation with Abita Peltola, sharing her intriguing story. As we heard last time, she was born in India and raised in a strict Muslim family. She eventually moved to Fiji to marry a man who was picked out by her sister. Unfortunately, her new husband was not at all like she thought he would be, and she was bitterly disappointed. Then her life took an unexpected twist when one day her sister told her that she had put her faith in Jesus Christ. How was Abita going to respond? Would she use this new information against her sister so that she would finally become her parents' favorite daughter? Or would she find out more about Jesus and why he had had such a profound impact on her sister's life? We'll begin today by finding out how Abita's sister put her faith in Jesus.
She said this friend of mine, Bridget, had left a book outside. This is a very well-known book written by a Muslim lady, Bilkis Sheikh, and it is called "I Dared to Call Him Father." Now, that was the very profound, moving story written by this lady, Bilkis Sheikh, that touched her. Sally started reading my sister, and then she was very moved, and at the same time, there was a knock on the door, and there was a group of people from Whakatane, Youth with a Mission, who had come to share the gospel, and they said, "We have come to share the good news with you." And my sister was, yes, she was blown away, and that's when she accepted Christ.
Wow, they came right when she was reading that book?
Yes, she had just finished reading the book.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, and the knock on the door. And that's when she accepted Jesus as a savior. And when she challenged me, "Are your prayers being answered?" I thought for a while and I said, "No," because I didn't have a job and I didn't know how to relate, you know, and have a good relationship with my husband. And there were things we needed, and I was worried about my family in India not being able to send the money. But Allah will listen one day. You know, I said to her, because he's a great God and in his time he will answer. And she told me that, "Do you know what will happen to you if you die today?" And I said, "No, not even Muhammad knew what will happen. And so how would I know? It is up to Allah to decide when and what happens to us." He says, "No, I know that if I die today, I will go to heaven and Jesus is waiting for me because there's a mansion prepared for me." I said, "How do you know? Where is Jesus now?" And she said, "He's in my heart." I said, "Show me." I mean, it's that's the kind of challenge you will get from non-believers who will say, "How do I know that Jesus is in your heart?" She says, "I love you." When she mentioned that, it moved. Something moved in my heart. And I said, "Well, I really can't believe this. I have to find out for myself. And I will tell mom and dad that you have become a Christian." That means I would be the better daughter now.
Oh, so you could get one up on her.
Yes, yes. Because you see, that's the faith we grew up in.
Yeah,
and now
yeah.
We cannot betray our parents and our faith that we grew up. It's in the blood. It's in our veins.
So she had done, kind of the unpardonable sin, so to speak. And now you could get to be the number one daughter.
Yes, unpardonable. That is, yeah. But by the time I walked back home, her house was on a hill, and I was walking back. I could hear the name Jesus, and I turned around, and I didn't see anyone. So I reached home, and I said, "Now, I have to find out for myself whether what my sister is saying is true." So I put a mat down It is called Janamaz, and I covered myself up as the Muslims do, and I started praying. I said, I'm going to ask one last time. And I said to Allah, you are the true and living God. I know that since I was 7, I have fasted and prayed and know, and I know that all non-Muslims are not saved. So can you please reveal yourself to me? Because 20 years is a long time to pray to a God, have not heard from him, not seen anything, never had any visions or dreams, or don't even feel that my prayers are going up. It's like the prayers go up, hit the ceiling and come down. I don't know if you're here. So can you just speak to me? Otherwise, I will give up on you. It's been a long time I have waited. And I waited. It was 1 minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes. Nothing happened. So I took my veil off and I threw it. I picked up my mat and I threw it. I said, you are a God who doesn't hear, who cannot see, who doesn't know what's in my heart, have never answered my prayer. That's it. From today, I'm not going to pray to you anymore. And that's it. The decision was made. Then I looked to, you know, Jesus, and I'm saying, Jesus, I know you're alive. If you're here in this room, it was 4 o'clock in the afternoon, 27th of October, 1982. I could not forget that day. I said, I want to see you. And I folded my arms. The moment I did that, there was a bright light in the room. All the hay stood. I had goosebumps. And two hands touched my shoulder. And I could see the same picture of Jesus that I had in India. Blue eyes, blonde hair. It was a Catholic one. And in front of my eyes. So I rubbed my eyes and I checked. He was there. That picture was right in front of me. And two arms touched my shoulder and said, my child, I'm here and I'm alive. What else do you want? And I pointed my hand towards him and said, thank you. That's enough. I give my life to you today. So that was my experience at that time, and tears running down my eyes to know that there is a God and Jesus is real and he does care and he does know our hearts and he has been waiting for us to talk to him. And I just felt like, you know, the book, John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, a big burden that I was carrying, a heavy burden on my back just fell off. And I cried. I started tears running down and I was so joyful. There was a mixed feeling. I was so joyful at the same time that I ran to my sisters, left my two children sleeping bare feet up the hill. And there she was waiting because she was praying. And there were other nearly 20 families in Whakatane, New Zealand, praying for a sister of Sally, who would be to be saved. I mean, that's how powerful it was that when Christians pray, I didn't realize that Christians actually pray, and it's powerful when we pray. So that was my day that I knew that Jesus is real and he loves me, and I accepted him.
Wow.
Yeah.
Let's find out how your life changed after you accepted Jesus as your Savior, and also what happened when you told your husband that you had become a Christian.
That was very important to me, that my husband would also accept me and the children. And so when he saw me reading the Bible, he said, don't tell me you've become a Christian. And I said, yes, I have. The Holy Spirit kept prompting me to speak the truth, be bold and say the truth. And I did. And when he found out, he said, all right, so you can either accept Jesus or you can live with me and be married and stay in this house and have the children. Choose one. And I said, well, if you accept Christ, you, I, and the children, we become citizens of heaven and we will have the peace and all our sins forgiven. And he said, no, I don't accept that. I give you 1 week to decide. And I went in my room and started crying. Now, I talk to Jesus like I'm talking to you. So I said to Jesus, I said, Jesus, now what? If he doesn't accept Christ, and what do I do now? And I started crying. And then I could see this verse on the wall, which was painted white. And it came up and I could read it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So I asked him, what do you mean all these things? What if my husband leaves me? What if he takes away the children? What if I'm kicked out of the house? And he says, I am the one who has given you everything you have. So I will be the one to provide everything that you need. I knew that time. I felt the peace of God in my heart. And I wiped my tears and I said, okay, Jesus, whatever, I have decided to follow you. And then when my husband came back and asked me, have you decided that you're going to live with me? And I said, no, I have decided to follow Jesus. Now, at that time, I was concerned about my children. But he said, and I said, what about the kids? And he said, you are a good mother. Because he couldn't change their nappies or, you know, look after them at that time. And it was tough. He used to ask me to sleep in a second room because he didn't want to be disturbed. So I would take the kids and move, you know, to the other room. So he said, you're a good mother. You can have them. So I just thank God. And there was a time that came that before it could get very physical and abusive again, I left with the two children. So no house, no job, no money, no food, no clothes, no car.
You basically had nothing but the promise from God that if you seek him first, he'll give you what you need.
Yes, and I stood outside. So I just looked up again once more and asked Jesus, here I am with two children, two bags. Now what? And he says, you have taken a stand for me, and now you see what I'm going to do for you. And I stand on the promise of God until today in Philippians 4:19 when he said, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in heaven. And I could say, until today, he has been faithful and he's never let me down. And a guy came with a truck and he was a Hindu guy and he saw me standing there and he said, sister, I have a house for you to stay for 3 months. Come on. And my daughter asked, mom, did Jesus send him? I said, yes, Jesus has sent them. So this is how my children's faith grew by, you know, trusting that Jesus is the provider and he will provide all our needs.
Our guest today is once again Abita Peltola, sharing her intriguing story. As we've been hearing, she's originally from India and was raised in a strict Muslim family. Then she moved to Fiji to marry a Muslim man. Now at this point in the story, she's become a Christian and has been kicked out of her home. We'll find out what happens next in her life and how the Lord abundantly provides for her when we return right here on Real Faith.
Looking for resources to grow your faith? Check out Vision Christian Store with books, movies, audio CDs, DVD resources and more. Plus, free delivery on orders over $50. See visionstore.org.au.
You're listening to Real Faith, conversations with real people about how God works in their lives. If you want to know more about integrating faith into your life, our website is realfaith.org.au. Just go to the website and you'll find helpful articles about the impact faith can have on your life. Once again, that's realfaith.org.au.
Welcome back. I'm Eric Scadabo, and our guest once again is Abita Peltola, sharing her story. As we've been hearing, she's originally from India and was raised in a strict Muslim family. At this point in her life, she's now living in Fiji and has become a Christian and has been kicked out of her home by her husband, along with her children. Now we're going to hear the conclusion of Abita's amazing story. How do you eventually come to Australia?
Well, I moved from Fiji. I got a job straight away. A teaching job, and that's how I could see the faithfulness of God. The prayers started getting answered, and God was in my life. I had the peace, and whatever I would talk to him about, he would make a way and send people to answer and provide my needs. I started teaching, and I had the money to provide for myself and the two children. And in next 4 years, my brother-in-law and my sister moved to Vanuatu. So in Vanuatu, he spoke to the minister at education and there was a job opening and I came to teach in Vanuatu for 4 years and shared the gospel from one island to the other island.
Oh, wow.
And went
Fantastic.
Out and yes, did that and with the students and became the coordinator, ISCF, it's Inter-School Christian Fellowship, it used to be, now it's chaplaincy. So I did that in Fiji. I did that in Vanuatu, took devotion, spoke at assemblies, went out.
Wow,
and then boldness.
Fire.
Yeah, the boldness came. And I went house to house, you know, the street evangelism, mm-hmm. to Hindu and Muslim families, started accepting the Lord. And I was unstoppable. I had that zeal, that passion to share, because I wanted everyone to know the truth that Jesus is the one who can set them free. And then my sister had moved to Australia. So in 1990, she sponsored me, and I was 35, and on credit points, I qualified, I came, and God provided two schools, Sunnybank State High School and McGregor, and I chose Sunnybank, as God said, and stayed there for 10 years, taught and shared the gospel, and I did that. And then went to Hong Kong and went to the prisons there in Hong Kong and shared the gospel, and 13 ladies accepted the Lord. Yeah, and then I came back in Woodridge and was the head of department there for 7 years and shared the gospel with the Afghani students and my students whenever. It was all voluntary meetings that we used to have. So this is how God has led me to country and to nations, and has provided the needs and that boldness that He gives. When I speak, I just have that compassion that God has poured, just love for people, and mm-hmm. especially the Muslims, because there's so much negative propaganda against, you know. And I said, God says, just love them. Mm-hmm. Just, they all need love as much as any Australian. They also, all the people from different cultures and different backgrounds, need to hear and love that Jesus is the one who died for them, and God loves them. That's what I'm doing right now.
And briefly, what are you doing today, ministry-wise?
In the last 4 years, as I have been remarried, my husband is from Finland, God spoke to us both, and He showed us Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, and I want you to share the good news with the poor and heal the brokenhearted and set the captives free. And I said, God, how? He says, I will give you the keys. So when we got married in 2015, that's when He started speaking to us, and I started journaling since then. And now we are doing inner healing and deliverance ministry, which we had not done. I used to go and evangelize and preach and share my testimony, but now it's to the outcast, to the people who have been rejected in the churches and are looking for hope. We just go and we just share and invite them to come. And we are helping the people, whoever can come and has needs, to come and be set free from all kinds of bondages, addictions, and hurt and pain and trauma in their lives that they have been through. So that's what we're doing right now.
And Abita, what happened to your first husband?
Okay, my first husband thought that, you know, because there's no respect for people in our cultural background, a divorced woman with two children, he thought that life would be tough and I will come back. So I was living in Fiji at a Bible college. It was a Baptist Bible college. And my husband traveled and walked and came and asked me if I would want to come back. So within the next 3 months, I was actually desperately praying for him to be saved. But I found out 3 months later, he got remarried. And that broke my heart. And I cried, because a divorce hurts. It's painful. And for me, as my dad had spoken, that you get married once. Mm. So I had hoped that he would come back and he would accept Christ. But it didn't happen the way a lot of things didn't happen the way I dreamed. So he got remarried, and that's it. There was no hope left. And then I moved on in my life and trusted God as to be the father of my children. And that's when I came to Australia and I met my second husband, who was from South Africa. And then he raised, for 21 years we were together. And he suffered from cancer, and he passed away in 2012. So we had, by then I had three children, one from the youngest one, David, from my second husband. And after he passed away in 2015, God, you know, amazingly brought this person in my life. He's from Finland, Lasse Paltola. And so we married and we started this ministry on inner healing and deliverance.
And you know somebody who we had on the program recently, Joel Tuita.
Yes.
And his wife.
Yes, Piriyama.
And she came to live with you for a while?
Yes, Piriyama.
You ministered to her?
Yes, yes. She was going through a difficult time and brokenhearted and needed, you know, someone to mentor her and teach her. And she's very open to learning about God and growing in the Lord. And she even had a prophecy over her that she would marry someone with a father's heart. Now, not everybody has a father's heart. And Joel actually is the person who did love her, accept her, and had a father's heart. So she came and lived with me with her terrific ministry she has on art and music, singing. And God has really gifted her with that. And so I was able to nurture her and, you know, help her in her spiritual walk as well.
And so you really have a heart for kind of the outcasts of society, so to speak.
Yes.
I mean, you even have them come live in your house, or you did
yes.
back when
yes.
you were single.
Yes, and another couple who had split up, the husband who had been involved with drugs and had a court case. And now that family is reunited after the deliverance and healing ministry, and they're happy together with their four children.
Fantastic.
So it's a real good testimony for these two people who lived with me.
Wow. The Lord is really using you, and especially everything that you've gone through. It's really impacted your heart and has given you a heart for others who have suffered like you have.
Yes, especially with the women, because I have been through physical abuse. Mm-hmm. I've been molested in my life. So I could identify with those women who have gone through those experiences mm-hmm. and say there is hope for them and Jesus loves, and so that they can be set free from that bondage of guilt, shame, and condemnation. So God is using me in that area with the women as well.
And you are helping them get to know their Heavenly Father and be set free as well.
Yes, so they can connect to the Father and have that relationship with their Father God, Daddy God.
Amen. And finally, tell us about, what do your parents think about all this change in your life and in your sister's life?
Well, when my mom found out that I had accepted Christ, she was very disappointed, very sad, and she felt that I had left the religion of her forefathers. And so she had cut me off completely. Mm. But because of love that God had poured in my heart, I continued to love her. And eventually, she not only accepted me, she came and lived in my house with me where I had prayer meetings.
Oh,
and
wow.
It's amazing, yes. And she was very tolerant, and that love, that's why I believe that love is the key to win mm-hmm. even yep. the hardest heart. And my dad, who was, you know, going to the mosque and very much devoted to Allah, asked us one day, why the two daughters have become Christians. And when we shared with Dad, I said, Dad, would I ever lie to you? And he said, no, my daughter, no. I said, can I tell you the truth? And he said, yes. I said, Jesus is the one who died for us. And he's the one who will give us life and forgives all our sins, and we will be in heaven with him. And he says, how did you know that? And when I shared with him, he said, can you send me some material for me to read, to understand what you're saying? So we contacted South Africa, Jesus to Muslims. It's an organization, ordered 66 books, send a parcel to Dad. And 2 weeks later, he accepted the Lord.
Oh, wow.
So this is a miracle where the scripture in Acts 16:31, you and your household will be saved. And God has been faithful. And my dad has been saved. And 2 weeks later, he had a heart attack and he passed away.
Oh,
but
my goodness.
God said, you will see him. So that means I left in 1978. 86, my dad passed away, and I did not see him after that. But God said, I will meet him in heaven. So that's an encouragement to all those people who have their family members who are not saved, that God knows and he's hearing our prayers.
And as you mentioned earlier, seeds were planted in the life of your mother.
Yes, and she, I believe, when we prayed for her, I believe she's in heaven.
Oh, fantastic. Wow. And you mentioned earlier that sometimes it's hard to share the love of Jesus with Muslims. What advice would you give listeners?
Yes, it's best never to get into doctrines and arguments of any debates on Islam, rather than just win them, just love them. Mm-hmm. And meet their needs. And that's a friendship evangelism that I really recommend to people, because get to know them and their hearts and just be Jesus to them without even mentioning anything, you know, about the Bible or when they're not ready. Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit will lead. But just love them just as who they are. And God will open their hearts and give you an opportunity to share the gospel.
Wow, that's fantastic. Abita Petola, thank you so much for sharing your story with us today.
God bless you and God bless everyone who's listening. Love you.
Our guest today has been Abita Petola from Brisbane.
You've been listening to Real Faith. And if you have any questions or comments, you can send us a message through our website, realfaith.org.au. That's realfaith.org.au.
This program is a production of Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, see vision.org.au.